family, friends, and fans describe George Maeda as talented and thoughtful, brilliant, with a big heart.
He was very kind, a kind person.
Encouraging and uplifting.
Funny.
Unique.
Eccentric.
Inquisitive.
He was very passionate.
Passionate, definitely.
Passionate.
Passionate is the one that always comes first in my mind.
Good tidings to you, and welcome to the Electric Crowd on this Labor Day weekend for 2015. I'm George Maeda, and our studio's...
George was a constant companion on the local airwaves for more than 30 years. Many listeners grew up with George, who got his first radio gig at WRFK in the 1980s. Licensed to Union Theological Seminary, the studio was near the Chickahominy Swamp. George liked to reminisce about the day a bright blue lightning strike lit up the air room. When WCVE acquired the station, George came along, bringing his new show, The Electric Crowd.
Central Virginia is actually Virginia's longest-running eclectic show. We began here in 1985.
Listening to George was like listening to somebody who had an insight that he didn't seem like anybody else did.
Friend and musical collaborator Matthew Costello.
He was really, really, really deep into a lot of things. It's one of the things I really admired about him. I would always learn something from him.
George had a wide range of musical interests, from Fairport Convention and Steel Eye Span to PJ Harvey and Prince. Each week, he wove together unexpected tracks.
Yeah, where else are you going to hear the Go-Go's, jazz from Art Farmer and Don Henley, and the same concluding set for a holiday weekend?
And there was, of course, Hermie.
Great minds think alike. Yeah, the Knife Edge. One of the all-time... No, I don't remember what it's called, but it's one of the all-time great... And let's see, what do we do next? Yeah, we'll maintain a bit more of folk lyrica from over there.
Hermie joined the Electric Crowd after a real cricket got into the studio.
George was thrown for a second. He's not known for his improvisational skills, but in this case, he rose to the occasion and he said, oh, and I've been joined by a very special guest. That's Hermie the Wistful Cricket.
Friend and fellow WCVE host John Porter had an idea. Over several weeks, he'd tell George listeners called in to ask about the cricket, even though they really hadn't.
By the fourth week, he started adding the cricket sound effect that we came to know and love to the show. And eventually that grew and grew and became a bigger part of the show. And I think Hermie really softened George. I think Hermie represented us as his listeners. We were asking a question and George would give us a response to that. And I really liked the way that it became kind of George's Jiminy Cricket. This was Hermie the Cricket, who was actually a conscious that was listening in to him and watching over him.
Yeah, go ahead and hit the button. No, the other button.
He created this theater of the mind on that show.
Chris Lucas was a listener, friend, and bandmate.
The show amazed me, but also the sort of little universe that he created amazed me as well, because when you listen to that show, it's like it's in some sort of parallel universe.
If you want to keep up with all my various shows, you can always go to my Facebook pages. Got two of them now.
During George's long career in public radio, he guided you through drive time and hosted classical evenings. But the Electric Crowd was his pride and joy. He made more than 1,600 shows, each one thematic. Some celebrated the onset of a new season, and when the equinox arrived, George would identify the show from a new location.
Good tidings to you, and welcome to the Electric Crowd on this third weekend of March for 2016. I'm George Maeda in our studios of Castle Crowd. Actually, that changes as of tomorrow. Spring arrives and we'll be in our Cafe Crowd motif or so, if that matters to anyone out there. Yeah, maybe to you. I don't know. In any event...
In May, George honored moms and grandmoms. For 16 years, he made a special show to remember September 11th.
Little did I know at the time that people I knew from my own high school, Holy Cross in Flushing, New York, and Queens, had already perished or were on their way to perishing. All in all, 17 people, including Father Francis Grogan, CSC, who was on one of the flights that crashed into the towers. Many were first responders and also worked in the towers, including Carl F. Asaro, Dominic Berardi, Thomas Anthony Casoria, Lieutenant John Frisky, David A. Feo.
The owner of nearly 40 guitars, each one named, George always did something special for International Guitar Month. He was thrilled when a mutual friend connected him to someone he deeply admired.
If I had one electric guitarist I'd love to interview, if I was stuck at the North Pole or whatever, it would be, yes, Alex Lifeson. And we began by recounting my first concert memory of Rush. Like this morning, I couldn't find my watch, but I can remember the first time I saw Rush. I grew up in New York, and I saw you guys at the Palladium in New York City back in November of 77. I've been, you know, a fan ever since.
They talked about the distinct sounds of the Les Paul and Telly, if there was new music in the future, and what it was like touring now. Their conversation shifted from music to paella to Lifeson's inventions.
There's so much more to you. I tell friends, man, this guy is a Renaissance man. He's a licensed pilot, although you never hear about unlicensed pilots, so I don't know what that means. And you're an inventor. You invented the Omega stand for guitar, right?
George had a saying on the Electric Crowd.
You don't have to be famous to be on the show, just good. And that's what we're doing tonight.
He was a champion of Richmond area musicians, often the first to play their new recordings and to invite them to WCVE for extended interviews. He sought out young performers too. In 2012, Sophia Hernandez was in the eighth grade when she performed on the Electric Crowd.
You know, he gave me an actual interview and treated me like an adult, and that was really cool to be able to do that.
George partnered with his friend Sarah Kane, who had an open mic club at Tuckahoe Middle School. He proposed the students write original songs inspired by winter. The winner would perform on the Electric Crowd. Sophia's winning song is called My Winter Is Always Cold. George told her she reminded him of a young Dylan.
I came into this world full of hope. I lived in the sunshine, but then came the cold. Stormy nights and dark days. Ain't got no money, can't get no pay. I got out my guitar and wrote down a song, the song I'll sing all winter long. As I walk down this road of struggles and pain, I'll sing these words every day. Can't get a job, can't get no loan, I'll make this park my home.
You know, at that age, I had never really done much with my music outside of what we did in the open mic club. So to me, that was like my first big break, you could say. You know, that was, to me, it was really, really exciting. And it definitely gave me a lot of confidence and a lot of encouragement to keep pursuing what I was doing.
George's support didn't end there. After the contest, he donated a Les Paul Jr. electric guitar to the open mic club. And 6 years later, he'd be thrilled to know Sophia is still performing and writing original music.
From the time we were little, our grandfather, my dad's father, played mandolin.
Patty Carpenter is George's sister. She says he was a devoted son, brother, and uncle, a friendly and thoughtful neighbor. George was a devout Christian, and years ago, he was detained in Russia after trying to sneak in Bibles.
They kept him in, they interrogated him, and they took away the Bible that he had several, and but he got one back. And he just told them that, you know, he was just a Christian, and he just wanted to, you know, let other people who were interested, he wasn't going to try to force anybody or anything like that, but He really was felt that adamant about people knowing God and religion, and you know, and so they gave him one of the little Bibles back.
Patty says he encouraged others, whether in music or personal and professional goals.
Just always willing to just go the extra mile and do for us, and you know, just he was just wonderful, but and so funny. I mean, he just, you know, he would crack us up, and the same with us. Likewise, we would just crack him up, and his laugh, you know, I mean, he just had that that laugh that was just great.
Conversations with George could last hours. He might veer from science fiction and conspiracy theories to Ally McBeal and When Harry Met Sally. George loved to cook. He'd share recipes, some passed down from maternal elders. He'd eyeball it when it came to ingredients, and the sometimes blurry photos he'd post to social media showed his advanced cooking techniques. Asian roast pork braised with black grapes and onion in a tea sesame sauce. Salmon with fennel, oregano, lemon, and capers. Four cheese manicotti with local sausage. The creativity he applied in the kitchen was just as original as his audio dramas and music.
So actually, George was one of the very first friends that I met when I moved to Richmond.
George convened local musicians to perform his own songs and theirs in the Electric Crowd Band. Sarah Kane collaborated with him on Fall into Autumn.
George's songs, I remember when he asked me to sing on Fall into Autumn, it was when I heard the song, it's a beautiful song, but it's not, it doesn't follow, much like George, it doesn't follow the mainstream of, you know, there's not a specific chorus in a lot of his songs. This one kind of did. We worked in it together a little bit, and I came up with a little piece that to help me feel comfortable in it, because he really pushed me out of my comfort zone with this song. And I remember I'd always say, like, oh, I hate my voice on this. I don't think this doesn't sound good. And he'd say, oh, no, this is, you're the only voice who could sing this. And he really would make you feel very special.
Acorns brown, cold air clowns, golden frowns. Acorns brown, cold air clowns, golden frowns.
George was always so passionate with the music, but at the same time, he heard a different meter than what was normal for most people. He would be playing along, and then he would shift, and you weren't quite sure where he was. You'd catch up, you know. Always exploring, and he was very into effects as well as you know, how the effects would. But his chord progressions were very adventurous, not to be predictable at all. And as I said, his meter was always unpredictable. So it was a delight to play inside of that stuff, because I mean, we often play the predictable changes, you know.
It all began one October morn. King he looked, watched with scorn. The leaves of red through golden brown. One stray arrow shot a prize deer down. King's men chased him all through the woods, down through the glen, down past the brook.
George's favorite season inspired a three-hour performance in the 1990s at WCVE. The Winter's Tale is still vivid for those who were there, like Chris Lucas.
That was a huge night, a huge success for him, because he really stepped out on a limb in that show that was done here at the station. and it was a huge success. I mean, everybody who was involved in it looks back on it, you know, with joy, really, and how it all came out.
George leaves a lasting impact. He exposed countless people to innovative music, historic and contemporary, world-renowned and homegrown. He brought people together at Castle and Cafe Crowd, creating a community of listeners. He challenged friends and collaborators to leave their comfort zones. He inspired people to be more open-minded, to see the value in those who are different. And when you saw the smile on his face, the sparkle in his eyes, he demonstrated how to find joy and meaning in everyday things. He showed us how to love life.
George was very, very, very inspiring, very, very supportive of everything that I did. Anything I showed him, he loved. And to me, that was thrilling.
He was a good man, whom I often fought with and still love dearly.
He would not have been able to reach out so consistently in so many different directions if he didn't have an innate love of people.
With reaching out to the Open Mic Club with that contest, yeah, he was definitely giving an opportunity to a bunch of kids who have dreams. So
he was just a good man, and he was just, being around him just made you feel comfortable, made you feel like you could be yourself. And even when he pushed me out of my comfort zone, you know, I still felt safe with George.
George had a lot of traditions, and one of them came at the end of each Electric Crowd show. It may have come from an 18th century poet, Thomas Bailey, who wrote, "'Tis the hour when happy faces smile around the taper's light. Who will fill our vacant places? Who will sing our songs tonight? Through the mist that floats above us, faintly sounds the vesper bell, like a voice from those who love us, breathing, fond fare thee well.
A fond fare thee well.
A fond fare thee well.
A fond, fare thee well.
A fond fare thee well.
That's it. A fond fare thee well.